the importance of sleep on our overall health, because it really is a restorative thing for the body to have a regular sleep schedule, isn't it?
Yes, indeed it is. And I would take that further and I would say it's restorative for the brain fundamentally. I mean, so for example, your skeletal muscles can recover from just plain old rest, okay? But the brain needs to tap out. It needs to go offline to restore itself. So that's where sleep is fundamentally important. I would say fundamentally, it is by the brain and for the brain. This is something that I have been seeing increasingly over the years, okay? Everybody seems to be wearing these devices. Aura rings, Apple Watch, right? You know, all these wearables. And we get people in the clinic. So I'm not a provider, but my labs are in a clinic. Okay. We get people coming in, obsessing over the data from these watches, right? Oh my gosh, I'm not getting enough deep sleep. We hear this again and again and again. And you know, recently there has even been a term for this. It's called orthosomnia. Orthosomnia is the obsessional pursuit of perfect sleep. It's not a disorder, but it's culturally big enough for somebody to have come up with a word for it, right? And here's the thing. The worst thing you can do is obsess about your sleep, first of all. Obsessing about your sleep will make your sleep worse. The second thing is these devices are poor proxies for what the brain is doing. So I started out by saying sleep is by the brain and for the brain, right? And when we record sleep, we use EEG and we can see what the brain is doing. And indeed, we go through several different sleep states or stages, okay? And these watches or rings or whatever, what they are measuring is heart rate and motion, okay? So they are pretty good at knowing when you're asleep versus knowing when you're awake. Beyond that, though, they don't know a whole lot. Also, the algorithms are proprietary, so we don't know how they come up with these deep sleep scores, right? So that is something that I think during Sleep Awareness Month, I think people should settle down with those wearables and not get anxious about the quality of their sleep based on the data they're getting from the wearables.
In your eyes, what does a good night's sleep look like?
That's a good question. So a good night's sleep looks different depending on your age, right? So obviously, I think everybody knows that the younger the child, the more sleep that child needs. That's partly because the brain is still developing. So the brain is actively developing, you know, in women or girls until the age of, you know, 23-ish. In men, it's a bit longer, meaning the brain is still building itself up, wiring up. So in sleep, we know sleep plays a fundamental role in that process, okay? As you get older, you need less sleep. I think this is another thing that we see clinically is, you know, people are getting older. They also have these devices and they are concerned that they're not getting enough sleep, period. The thing is, as you age, you probably need less sleep. So meaning when you're 40 versus when you're 70, your sleep needs are different in those two life stages, right? So what a good night's sleep looks like for an adult is somewhere between 7 and 9 hours consistently, meaning the best thing you can do for your sleep is go to bed at the same time, wake up at the same time every day. That's the fundamental principle of sleep hygiene, right? You just do it the same. Keep in mind, we can't always be perfect, right? If you think about sleep as something like nutrition, okay, here's a good analogy. So sometimes we're going to binge on sour cream and onion, potato chips, and chunky monkey, right? And we're going to feel terrible. But it's not going to kill us. And the same is true of sleep. You know, sometimes we're going to have a cruddy night. Maybe we're going to stay up all night, half the night, binge watching Murder, She Wrote, whatever. That's going to happen. And it's not the end of the world. So to the best of one's ability, you should be consistent about your sleep from going to bed at the same time, waking up at the same time, and not worrying about, well, about what your devices are telling you you're doing wrong. How about that?
I'm thinking too, with particular segments that you're talking about, you know, with 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, 70-year-olds, that one size does not fit all when it comes to sleep for everybody in that segment.
That's absolutely true. One size does not fit all. And even, you know, even when we give this 7 to 9 hour, you know, this good sleep in an adult is somewhere between 7 and 9 hours, there is a lot of individual variability. So most people, so 60, let's use just the normal distribution, 67% of people, most people need about 7 to 9 hours. There are some people who are in fact short sleepers. This is real. There seems to be a high genetic component. So if you're someone who has always needed little sleep, even when you were younger, that's probably just who you are. So trying to force yourself into a 7 to 9 hour sleep state is probably not, it's not necessary and probably will only do more harm than good trying to fit yourself into that mold, if that makes sense.
Say for some, for example, we have somebody who's looking for a good night's sleep and feeling like they've had one, but they're just not getting there. Any suggestions for them?
What do you mean by they're just not getting there? So I would say this, usually the way you can tell whether you've had a good night's sleep is how you feel the next day. That's usually a good signal. I'll put in a caveat there that one really common sleep disorder in adulthood is called obstructive sleep apnea. People with obstructive sleep apnea will often just adapt to that level of normal, meaning they don't have great sleep and they get used to it. If you don't have a sleep disorder, though, you can largely tell if you've had a good night's sleep based on how you feel the next day. So if you feel good, you know, your cognitive function seems good, you're alert, your mood, because sleep plays a significant role in mood regulation. If all those things are good, then you're doing okay. Obstructive sleep apnea is a big one. And people think of it as being a disorder associated with overweight and obese, but that's not true. It really, at the developmental extremes, it's associated with age. So it plagues young children often because their airways are too small to accommodate their big tonsils and adenoids. And it affects older adults, you know, usually it more men than women. Usually over the age of 45 is when it sort of starts for men. And you don't necessarily have to be overweight. And it is associated with snoring. That's sort of the first symptom. If you don't have a bed partner, people don't always realize that they snore. But it is a serious disease. It's tough on the brain. It's tough on the cardiovascular system. So, you know, snoring isn't necessarily benign. So if your bed partner is telling you that you're snoring loudly, it's probably a good idea to get yourself evaluated for OSA.
Let's talk about napping. Because obviously there are some people that need a nap. They feel they need a nap during the day. What's right? What's wrong with naps? Mm-hmm. Is there a wrong way or a right way to do a nap during the day?
That is a good question. So there's never a right or a wrong, right? There's always nuance in every answer. So the question is, why do you need a nap? So one of the reasons people often need naps is that they have not slept well the night before. Okay, so this is what happens. As you wake up in the morning, think about your brain like a sponge. How about this? You know how a sponge, it absorbs water, and at a certain point, it can't absorb anymore. This is what happens during wake, okay? So you wake up, and you have eliminated your sleep need, okay? But just like appetite, the need for sleep increases as you stay awake, okay? Because you are out in the world, and your brain is learning. Meaning you're making decisions, you're interacting with people. I don't necessarily mean formal school classroom learning, right? Every single day you are learning, you're taking in information, right? At the end of the day, your brain is saturated, okay? It can't take on any more information. It's full up like a sponge. Sleep is the reset button, okay? Sleep takes the brain back down to baseline, okay? So think about sleep need. The brain needs to be awake for a certain number of hours in order to get sleepy, okay? Does that make sense to you? Yes? Okay. At the end of the day, you are tired, your head hits the pillow, and right away you go into the deepest sleep of the day, right at the beginning of the night, okay? Because that's when sleep need is highest. Think of it as like the brain is hungriest at that point, hungriest for sleep. So then as the night goes on, you diminish your need for sleep, you wake up, yay. If you have fragmented sleep, or if you don't sleep enough, when you wake up the next morning, you have not pressed a reset button. You're still carrying around sleep need from yesterday, okay? That is often why people nap. If that's why you're napping, that's less than ideal. So in an ideal world, you'll be sleeping at night, not during the day, right? Now, for some people, they have just always been nappers and they find naps rejuvenating and it does not interfere with nocturnal sleep, meaning they can nap during the day and they're still tired at night and that's all good. So I would say only avoid napping if it interrupts nocturnal sleep or if you need it because you're not sleeping well at night.
One other thing I want to ask about has to do with dreaming, and it has to do with REM sleep, where you get some of the more vivid dreams. And this happens to me. In fact, it happened last night. I was in the middle of sleep, then the dog barks and wants to go outside. I wake up and I'm thinking, oh, it must be late in, you know, must be early in the morning because I feel so rested. I had all sorts of great dreams. Mm-hmm. And so I get up and let the dog out. I got to bed at around 9. I look at the clock. It's 11. And I'm sitting there saying, I really feel that I've gotten a full night's sleep already. And well, it turns out I go back to bed after I let the dog in, wake up again, and it's the same thing. I went through all sorts of dreaming, feel very rested, and I look at the clock just before 1 in the morning. What's the story with that, Stephanie?
So I think when you are awoken from REM sleep, deep sleep, non-REM deep sleep, the deepest sleep we have, when the brain is really doing its restorative project, right? When you're awoken from that state, you are groggy. So because you have been totally offline, you have been unconscious. And then when you come into consciousness, you know, we call this sleep inertia. When you're awoken from REM sleep, you don't feel that way. And that's because the brain, when you're in REM sleep, it looks just like you're awake, okay? So the brain is in there chit-chatting to itself. You know, you're not taking in sensory information, but you're generating it. So the reason that you feel rested is because you've been woken from REM. And usually that's when you remember dreams. I know people love dreams, and I hate to be Debbie Downer here, but if you're remembering your dreams all the time, then you're probably not sleeping well. We all dream. We dream all the time. But we generally don't remember them because in order to encode an experience, to remember something, you must wake, meaning you must come into consciousness, conscious awareness. That's how you can encode an experience, right? So in order to remember a dream, you have to wake up and then think about it and then go back to sleep. So if you remember your dreams all the time, you're probably fragmenting.
Is there anything else you want to bring up regarding sleep, the importance of sleep, things people should know regarding sleep?
I think right now the biggest thing for people to be aware of is that, yes, sleep is really important. It's important, like nutrition is important and exercise is important, but you can't be perfect. Sleep can't be perfect. There's variability and that's okay. It's, you know, it's not deadly to have some bad nights or some bad weeks. I would say this, if you want to, you know, protect your sleep to the extent possible, go to bed and wake up the same time every day. If you wake up in the middle of the night and you're struggling to get back to sleep and you're getting anxious, keep the lights low, get out of the bed, because what you don't want to do is associate the bed with trouble sleeping, right? And then when you start to feel sleepy again, go back to bed. And be careful of how you interpret data from those darn wearables. Okay, sleep is a brain phenomenon, not a body phenomenon.
Absolutely. Yep. You're nothing more than when you're ready for bed, hit the hay, get up when you're done. And if you feel refreshed, you've done it right.
Exactly. Yep. No judgment.
Very good rule. That's for certain. Stephanie Jones, Assistant Director of the Institute of Sleep and Consciousness for the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Stephanie, thanks for joining us. We appreciate the conversation and learning about sleep.
Thank you for having me. It was lovely.